When we celebrate the communion, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, whatever you call it, we're supposed to remember the Lord, His testimony, His life, His teachings, what He's done, what He is. For those of you watching online, I'd like you to just participate in our communion celebration by getting yourself some bread and some juice and, you know, gather around. In a few minutes, we're just going to eat together. It was no other than the Lord Jesus Himself who said on the night that He was betrayed to certain death, "Do these things in remembrance of me." So we remember Him, we remember His life, we remember His testimony, and we rehearse it and we repeat it. We remember His death, we remember His victory, we remember His commission and His imminent return. Today, I want to remind you about our identity with Him. In Christ. In Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I woke up the other morning with this going through my mind, and I just kept rehearsing it all throughout the day. Just want to read the verse to you and let it just sink in for a moment, because the powerful truth that is inherent in this scripture is so pregnant, not just with meaning, but with life and confidence and assurance. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He," Father God, "He made Him," Jesus Christ, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." There's been so much talk over the years about, did Jesus literally become sin, or did He literally become a sin offering? And there's been debates back and forth, and I think that it misses the point. It's so sad. This verse, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him," speaks of two things. It's an exchange. The one who knew no sin became our sin. And the one who knew no righteousness had righteousness imparted to them, imputed to them. Jesus not only died for me, but He died as me. Jesus not only died for my sin, but He died for me as my sin. Jesus not only died for my unrighteousness, but He also raised as my righteousness. So here's my confession. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. As I put the words on the screen, I would like you to rehearse them with me, and we'll just say them a time and two until it starts to feel comfortable, until it feels like a confession of our faith. So here's the first one. Jesus died not only for me, but He also died as me. It's very profound, very profound, very deep. Could we just confess that together? Let's just declare in this place with me, Jesus died not only for me, but as me. Little nuance means a lot. Listen, I know I've been to and participated in thousands of communion services, like many of you. And I know that we're supposed to search our hearts and to see if there's anything in us that needs to be confessed, right? Yeah, communion is the time for that. But the point isn't to wallow in our sin. The point is to be forgiven of our sin. So it is appropriate, and I want you to hear yourself declaring this together today. Jesus died. Come on. Jesus died not only for me, but as me. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that I don't exist. It means that in the sight of God, because of Jesus Christ, my sin no longer exists. In Christ, my sin no longer exists. I'm going to be honest with you. I found in me way more sin after I accepted Christ than before I accepted Christ. Part of that was my experience, and some of you may have known the same. But the closer we draw to Jesus, in his presence, the Holy Spirit is faithful to point out things that he wants to remove from us. So by all means, confess your sin. But by all means, receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Don't wallow in it. Don't walk in it. Live identifying with Jesus. One more time. Jesus died not only for me, but also as me. All right? It gets better. Jesus not only died for my unrighteousness. Yep, here we go. Jesus raised up as my righteousness. Come on. It's one thing to be forgiven. It's another thing to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Do you understand that from Mother Teresa to Billy Graham to you or to me, to the most godly person you've ever met in your life, or to the most ungodly person, those who are in Christ Jesus are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when the we need to get this straight, folks. When the Father looks at me, he sees me through Jesus. Through Jesus. Jesus not only died for my unrighteousness, Jesus raised up as my righteousness. Come on, say it with me. Jesus not only died for my righteousness, Jesus raised up as my righteousness. Therefore, I stand clothed in the righteousness of Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Come on, say it with me. I stand clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Why are you still wearing shame? I want to ask you, why are you still wearing shame? I feel so pressed in my spirit today. Listen, I was with thousands of believers this week. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. And let me tell you something, when you stand with thousands of believers and many, many, many of them, pastors and ministers, it's really easy to start thinking about our shame, what we haven't done, or what we should have done, or what we did do that we shouldn't have done. Why are we still wearing shame? Why are you still wearing shame? I stand clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Come on, say it with me. I stand clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That should be a relief to somebody today. Let me tell you something. When God speaks to my heart, I have to distinguish between when he's talking to me and when he's talking to you. And I got to be honest with you. On this one, he started so early in the week, I know that he's talking to us. He's not just talking to me. He's talking to us. You, me, we, in Christ, stand clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. In Christ, I am forgiven. In Christ, I'm accepted. And in Christ, I am loved. You want to do it again? Because I stand clothed in the righteousness of Christ, I am in Christ. In Christ. By the way, how do you get in Christ? He already did it. All we have to do is invite Jesus into us. He already did this work 2,000 years ago. Again, I ask, why do we still walk in shame and guilt? In Christ, I am forgiven. In Christ, I am accepted. And in Christ, I am loved. All right. In this holy moment, I'm going to invite you to come and pick up these elements. So I think that the ones that are in the sealed little wrapper that has the bread that tastes like styrofoam, I think that's gluten-free, if you need that. Better yet, let us pray for you that you could be delivered and eat gluten like the rest of us. Gluten is good. I've never met a gluten I didn't like. I want you to just come and serve yourself. Go back to your seats and we'll hold on to everything. We're going to do it all together. And we're going to make this confession one more time. You guys can line up this way and you guys can line up this way. Trust me, it's the same on one side as the other. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, is it okay if children partake of communion? And I say they should partake of communion, especially when they've accepted Christ as their Savior. Yeah, absolutely. It's not snack time, kids. This is our declaration of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. I really feel like the Lord wants you to know how much he loves you today. It's stirring my heart how much I love you. I'm just a shadow, a reflection. What more could he have done? Yeah, I would like to if he had just stayed and ruled the world. That's not his plan. Not yet. We do this until he returns. This builds faith, it builds courage, and it keeps us connected. It keeps reminding us that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. This applies to you that are at home and watching online. I just want to tell you how much we love you. I know. Judith told me last week, he said, gosh, the week before there was just so many watching online. It was just wonderful. So we love you, all of you, whether you're here with us or you're online. Okay. All right. There's no heresy in these verses, I'm just telling you right now. I've spent a lot of years trying to please Jesus as a believer, as a Christian. Until God just started speaking to my heart and he said, when will you just accept it? I love you because I love you. So that doesn't make any sense at all, Lord. He said, sit down and just accept it. In this holy moment, I need to confess this one more time. This happened to me. It's my experience. I had the privilege of just being there. On one of my trips to Kenya, I was invited to go on over to Tanzania and then from there on into Uganda. Uganda is a very, I almost said it the way they say it. It's Uganda, really. In Uganda, it's a pretty serious place. I counted like 5 or 6 different uniforms. There was uniformed police outside of our hotel with automatic weapons protecting us inside. And then they took me from there down the street to one of the worst camps, slums I've ever seen in my life. When people die there, the loved ones have to get their bodies as quickly as possible and give them a decent burial, because if you don't get their bodies, the witch doctors get them and butcher them up. Anyway, it's a pretty serious place. And I had no idea why in the world I was there to speak, because these people were the epitome of those who were impoverished, and yet they had on their best. They only had one outfit, and they washed them. They washed them to be there on that special night because they knew this white guy from America was coming, and he was going to be preaching the gospel. I stood in front of them, and I'm surrounded by slum, and this wonderful pastor has this beautiful church in the middle of the slum. So we're absolutely like in an island. All around us was filth that you can't imagine. There was violence like you can't believe, and poverty like you've never seen in your life. And there was an oasis in the middle of that. It was a church. And they were there to reach people. The pastor of the church used to be an exalted man in government and a teacher. And he walked past this slum every day, and he got saved one day, and God sent him to the slum. People he tried to ignore, people he tried to forget about. So this beautiful pastor has this beautiful church surrounded by so much ugliness. And I got up, and I had my notes, and all I could say was a question. Why did God create you? Some people started raising their hands, and it was all about being served. It's like he created us to serve him. He created us to be his servants. Or he created us to go and take the gospel, or he created us to be moms and dads, and all these things, and they're all good answers, you know. And I looked at him and I said, I have a friend who told me one day that God created us to love us. I stood there and declared to them that God created them to love them. After, the Lord just wrecked us all that night. We were just amazed. But what God did, seeing the joy and the dancing and so much. This lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, do you know what you've done? And I'm like, ooh, I hope not something bad. She said, you came 7,000 miles to tell me that God created me to love me. That means that God knows I live in a slum. That means that God knows I need his love. That means that God knows I needed his forgiveness. That means that God knows I needed his grace. And I looked at her and I said, I stand on it. He created you to love him. Church, God created you to love you. He created you to love you. Would you please stand with me? want us to make the declaration. I'm going to pray a prayer and we're going to eat together. Repeat after me. Jesus died not only for me, but as me. Jesus not only died for my unrighteousness, Jesus raised up as my righteousness. I stand clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, in Christ I am forgiven. In Christ I am accepted. And in Christ I am loved. Father, I thank you for this bread. It represents your body. The body of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was broken, that was crucified for us. And I believe that you really died a real death, and your blood really spilled out. And I believe that you surrendered that body, knowing that we would stand here today. I bless this bread, and I bless the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's partake together. Lord, I bless this cup. It's a new covenant that includes we Gentiles. You took the old covenant and fulfilled it and upgraded it and brought it meaning and expanded it to include those of the rest of the nations. And Father, as we hold this cup in our hands, and as we are about to partake together of this cup, I'm just asking you that if you give us another year, that there be more standing here with us. There will be more standing with us around the world. There will be more who have come to Jesus Christ because we stood here today and confessed him. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's partake together. One more thing. Because of this, I will boldly confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I will boldly confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. Try it with me. I will boldly confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. Just one more time, because it makes me feel so good. I will boldly confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you so much for this grace given to us. In Jesus' name we pray.